Good morning, Bible Baptist Church, and thank you for inviting me to come back this morning. For those of you that weren't here 5 months ago when I spoke or that don't remember me, just a little bit about me. I serve on the Fond du Lac City Council as an elected official, but I also work with the Church Ambassador Network at Wisconsin Family Council. So a lot of you know Dave Lingle. He's been a regular to help you guys out to come preach, and he's known you guys for a very long time. So Dave and I, what our job is to do is to bring the churches together with their government officials, not to play politics or to push a political party, but we meet with both Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, and everything in between so that we can share the gospel with them, share the word of God with them, and pray with them and encourage them. But this morning, I'd like to get us started off by thinking and reflecting upon what we had this past week as well. With Martin Luther King Jr. Day was this past Monday. And so when I had reflected this past Monday on what MLK Jr. had done and how the actions he had done helped promote human rights and equality for all, regardless of their skin color and their race, I was thinking about this, and I was actually invited to speak at our Martin Luther King Jr. event in Fond du Lac as well, and based off my role at the city council. And so I'd just like to share with you guys some of the thoughts that I had shared as well, especially as it relates to our passage today. But when I had spoken at this event, I had said I didn't believe that Martin Luther King Jr. was as influential and had made the changes that he had because of the political culture or climate that he was in, because of who he was as a man. But what Martin Luther King Jr. had done to change America on its racial issues was because he had shared the word of God with them. It was the word of God that changed the hearts and the minds of the people throughout America. And it was him being able to contextualize that word of God that really breaked those chains of the Jim Crow South and had brought freedom in that racial divide. And so at that event, I'd also quoted Galatians 3:28, which says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bound nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ." And so the heart of that message was that we are all united in Christ, regardless of what our race is. And this could be as simple as being Jew or Greek, or it could be being black or white or any other race that we do see. As Christians, we can have unity with all, regardless of their skin color, because of that shared unity and bond we have in Jesus Christ. And so this leads me to the passage that we'll be covering today in the book of Galatians. The Apostle Paul wrote the epistle to the church in Galatia, to help them address the issues of the Judaizers. So they taught that in order to be saved, that the Gentiles would have to be circumcised. And so the point that Paul wanted the church to understand is that freedom from sin is found in Christ alone. And so I'd like to get you guys to think about today's passage by starting with a quick illustration. But I'm sure many of you are like me, where you enjoy the 4th of July. Even today I wear my patriotic tie. My fiance, last time she was here, she was my girlfriend, Victoria, but we're even going to get married on July 3rd because of how much we appreciate our freedoms in America and how much we appreciate July 4th. And Victoria, she loves July 4th and the parades that happen in Campbellsport where she lives and the fireworks. But I like to use this as an example for us to see that how we can enjoy that freedom that we have as Americans and those rights, but how much greater of a freedom that we have in Christ. And so I'd just like to highlight a couple books that St. Augustine had wrote. So the first was The City of Man. And so this dealt with how we can view and see the kingdoms on nation here on our earth. And the second was The City of God, which looked at the life in Christ's kingdom. And so all of us here today, we can celebrate the freedoms we have as Americans. However, what we'll be talking about today is a much greater freedom and liberty. And it's more important than anything that a government, a political party, a politician, or the government can give us. Today we will celebrate the freedom that is much greater, that can't be given by the United States government. But we will celebrate the liberty and freedom that can only be found by faith in Jesus Christ. So before we go further, I'd also like to start us with prayer. So please bow your heads. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to come here to worship you. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect, sinless life on earth. The only way to God the Father is through belief in the Son, Jesus Christ. You have given freedom to those that believe in Jesus. And I ask that you would lead me in this congregation this morning and teach us and show us how to rest in you and the freedom that you provide through faith in Jesus Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's sermon is titled Freedom in Christ. If you're writing notes, that again is Freedom in Christ. And so today's text is in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. So if you're able, please stand with me for the reading of God's word. Open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. That again is the book of Galatians chapter 5. The book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And the Apostle Paul writes, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, though through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you will not otherwise minded, but he hath troubled you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you." And so this is the word of God. You may be seated. So today I'll be splitting up the sermon into three different parts. And so the first part is that Christ sets us free, which covers verses 1 through verses 4. The second part is faith as a cornerstone of salvation, which is verses 5 through 6. And then the last section we'll cover today can be summarized as the call to throw off false teachers, which covers verses 7 through verses 12. And so these points will lead us to the passage's main point. And if you don't get anything else from today's sermon, or if you fall asleep within the next few minutes, remember this, and if you're taking notes, write this down. Faith in Christ is the only way to experience freedom from sin. That, again, is faith in Christ is the only way to experience freedom from sin. So before we get into this first passage, the first verse, I'll seek to give you an understanding of the background surrounding this text. And if there was any passage that needed a background explanation, it would be this passage that highlights circumcision and where Paul even calls for a group of people to be emasculated. So one thing I always like to remind churches when I come to preach to them is that the letters in the Bible were written for specific people in a specific place and for a specific purpose and time. These texts are still valuable for us today, but in order to understand how we can apply them for us today, we must understand how it's first applied to that specific audience, in this case, the church in Galatia. So first, the book of was written to the Galatians by Paul in about 69 AD, and this book is often termed the Magna Carta of Christian Liberty. The Galatian epistle, which is some is also called as Paul's Apostle of Christian Liberty. So this isn't the liberty that we think of today when we think of government liberty. However, it deals with the liberty to be justified apart from the law and to be justified through Christ. In this book, Paul clearly argues that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Second, circumcision was a Jewish tradition founded in Abraham's faith. We see in Genesis 17, 9 through 14, God establishes the Abrahamic covenant. Under this covenant, Jewish males are to be circumcised as a sign of faith towards God. For a Jewish male to be uncircumcised would mean that he would to be cut off from the covenant. In Leviticus 12:3, we read that circumcision normally took place on the eighth day after a baby's birth. And so while going through today's passage, we must remember that circumcision was of extreme value to these people and to the Jewish people of the day. Circumcision was mentioned in the Bible over 100 times to signify its importance in both the Old and also the New Testaments. Third, when these letters were originally read, they would have been read in front of the whole church. For us to stand the verses and passages today, we must also look at the context surrounding this passage and verse before and afterward. The Apostle Paul was a very intelligent lawyer. His letters were well-structured and argued. In chapters 3 and 4 in Galatians, we see Paul create a contrast between the old and also the new covenants. The old covenant was representative of Abraham to Moses to David until the resurrection of Christ. The new covenant was brought in by Christ's defeat and death in the resurrection. When a preacher or theologian is talking about justification, they're talking about one standing before God. If that person is to be found justified, or in other words, righteous under God, they will be saved. Whereas to not be justified means to be condemned before a holy and a perfect God. Under the old covenant, one was justified through the law. Under the new covenant of Christ, one is justified through faith in Jesus Christ. Last, the Judaizers taught that salvation required Christ plus circumcision. The occasion for the Galatian epistle is to counter the Judaizers' false teachings. They were a group of converted Jews who infiltrated the church and taught that for salvation, one must keep all the laws of Moses. The issue Paul had to address was one that would affect Christian liberty and freedom for believers of all times, including today. He wrote to the churches in Galatia in order to correct these false teachings of the Judaizers and to bring the believers back to where they were, to the pure gospel that he had preached to them. Overall, we can see that the major issue that Paul is trying to address is to bring the Galatian church back to a pure gospel that teaches salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so this leads us back to our first point, which is Christ sets us free, which we'll cover in verses 1 through 4. That, again, is Christ sets us free. So we're going to go verse by verse, starting in verse 1. The Word of God says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So again, we may ask, what is this freedom that Paul is speaking of here? Is he speaking of the freedom and liberties that we celebrate on the 4th of July here in America? No, of course not. This freedom is something that means much more than our American idea of freedom of speech or freedom of religion. The freedom for which Christ has set us free is the freedom from sin. St. Augustine argued that there were four dispensations of man. First, that is that in creation, man was free to sin or free not to sin. The second is that after the fall, man can only choose sin. And third, it is through Christ that man can choose not to sin. And the fourth and the last is after Christ's return, man will be unable to sin. So right now we are in this third disposition. Believers in Christ have the freedom to not sin. And that is the freedom that Christ has set us free from. The yoke of slavery that Paul mentions is the slavery that we all have once had through sin. But through belief in Christ, we may have that burden removed from our life. And so this leads us on to verse 2. "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." And so when we look at this text, remember the context that's found here in the book of Galatians. Paul here is addressing the key issues that are placed by the Judaizers. They believe that the new Gentile believers in Galatia needed to be circumcised in order to earn their salvation. The Judaizers were putting their faith into a Jesus plus circumcision equals salvation relationship. Paul makes it clear to them that it isn't a Jesus plus circumcision that equals salvation, but the only equation that works is faith in Jesus equals salvation. And so this leads us to verse 3, where Paul says, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." So Paul is talking about to the Gentiles in the Galatian church. He's pointing to the fact that Christ has came to bring freedom from the Jewish law. Before a Gentile to be saved, they would have to become a God-fearer. And to do this, they would need to be circumcised and would have to follow all 613 commands found in the first five books of the Bible, or otherwise known as the Torah. But through Christ, the law is no longer needed for these Gentiles. So what Paul is saying to them in this verse is that if a believer is in Christ, is to then get circumcised, they might as well follow the rest of the Jewish law that is found in the Torah. And so then Paul continues on here in verse 4. "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." And so Dr. James Borland from this verse argues that this shouldn't be interpreted as one losing their salvation. However, he argues that to fall from grace is trying to be justified by the law. And so my summary of this is that what the Apostle Paul is suggesting, that those who follow the Judaizers, the Jesus plus the law plan to salvation, have fallen away from the grace that the gospel provides in Christ alone. Overall, the main point that Paul is trying to point to us in this first section is that faith in Christ makes us free from the law. Now for the passage's second point, faith as the cornerstone of salvation, which will start in verse 5. Paul says, "For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Dr. Scott McKnight has stated, "When one turns to Jesus Christ, one turns away from Moses and begins living under the dominion of Christ and his Spirit, whom the Father has sent in one's heart. Those who are of Christ," Paul argues, "are free from the law." So we see that by turning to Jesus in faith, we can wait upon the Holy Spirit for hope and an eternal life with God the Father. So continuing on to verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And so what we see here is Paul is pointing to the heart of the real issue. And as Dr. McKnight later says, if the Galatian converts opt for the law of Moses and express that choice by personally undergoing circumcision, they will miss out on what really matters, the faith that they had previously exhibited. So this faith expresses itself through the love of Christ, through following the morals that God has revealed to us through the scriptures. Christ is the one that has set us free from sin. However, this doesn't mean that Christ has set us free to sin. The opposite is true. As we discussed earlier with St. Augustine, either Christ has set us free to choose God over sin. So I wish we had more time to discuss this today, but remember and write this down that freedom in Christ is not freedom to sin. And so let me give you a visual example to understand how justification by faith alone works in the second section. So imagine that I'm driving down the main drag of West Bend, downtown West Bend, and I'm going 70 miles an hour. I get pulled over, and there's absolutely no way, that this officer is going to let me out of this ticket. As a result of my infraction and putting the residents of West Bend and other drivers in danger, I'm indebted to pay back society for my crime. I then go to the courthouse, and I'm ready to pay that fine and get points taken off for my license. And then out of nowhere, someone runs into the courtroom and says, "I forgive Dan for what he's done. I understand that someone has to pay this debt and this infraction, so put it on me. I will pay this fine and I will take those points." And so what we see is that on a grander scale, that's what Jesus does for all of us to have faith in him. Jesus is the man that runs in the courtroom and screams, "I will take the punishment. I will lay down my life for you." By having faith in Jesus Christ, he will pay off your debts and will cause you to be found just in the court of God. See, in the Judaizers' false gospel, there was an added step to this. It spit on the Savior that came to save you in that courtroom. He came saying, "Trust in me, and I will pay your sin and debts." For the Judaizers, it was faith in this, but adding your own works to make yourself justified before God. Christ came to make us justified before God through him, not through our works. For our works are found as filthy rags before the Lord. By trusting solely in the works of Christ and by having faith in him, one is free and liberated from the bondage of sin. As the most intelligent man in American history, Jonathan Edwards, has said, "You contribute nothing to your salvation except the sin that made it necessary. Salvation is a pure gift from God found in grace." And so this section here demonstrates Paul's main point in the second section, that faith is the cornerstone of salvation. And so now on to our third and last point, the call to throw off false teachers in verses 7 through 12, starting in verse 7 and 8. "Ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." So Paul in this section here is using terminology from race running. To cut in on someone would be like pushing them off course in a cross-country race that we would have today. He is claiming that the Judaizers are the ones pushing that runner off the course. He reminds them that this false gospel of Jesus plus works is not a gospel from God. In verse 9, Paul uses a visual example. "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." And so this means that the Judaizers are the ones who are watering down the gospel that will tear down the rest of the church with them unless that heresy is removed. Just as yeast can spread through a whole batch of dough, heresy and false gospels can spread through a church if they're not removed. Today, just as then, our churches must blot out these heresies. It may not preach circumcision today, but there are many false American gospels which put Jesus plus something to equal salvation. Be wary of them and stay far away from them, and be true to the one gospel of Jesus alone. Faith in Jesus alone is the gospel. In verse 10, Paul continues, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that has troubled you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. So Paul here is being confident and is asked so that the Galatians will make the right decisions to choose grace over circumcision. He then points back to the fact that all will be judged by God, and those who have tainted his gospel, God's gospel, and caused confusion for people to receive Jesus in faith will have to pay the penalty in their judgment. This is why Paul warns teachers of their great responsibility and burden of preaching and teaching. Paul continues on in verse 11, And I have, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then if the offense of the cross ceased. So one of the potential reasons the Judaizers could have gained a stronghold in this area is that they may have argued that Paul would have encouraged them to be circumcised if he was still there. However, Paul points back to his persecution that he has received from the Jews. For if the Judaizers were characterizing Paul properly, he wouldn't be persecuted by the Jews. For his persecution came from preaching salvation alone in Christ alone, by faith alone, and not by circumcision. If he was to preach circumcision, then there would have been no need for Christ to die on the cross, and it therefore would be abolished. The next and last verse shows Paul's humorous and his sarcastic side in our last verse. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. And so I'm willing to bet, just like many of you are probably like me, you often forget that there's humor in the Bible, and especially passages like this. And so we see Paul demonstrating his attorney side, his sarcastic side here. And imagine if it was someone that would be using humor like you would see in a presidential debate today. And so Paul is suggesting that the Judaizers just not stop with circumcision, but they might as well emasculate themselves and become eunuchs to save themselves. By doing this, Paul is suggesting just how absurd it is for the Judaizers to claim that salvation comes by circumcision and faith. Paul warns them to fend off these false teachers and to only follow a pure gospel that is not diluted with heresy. I think Dr. McKnight's statement on this passage's main point is perfect. He says, being in Christ is living in freedom. Living in freedom means not being caught up in the Mosaic law that demanded circumcision. So to conclude with today's message, I'd like to encourage you to look back on this past week of what we saw in Martin Luther King Day. Many of us here have in some form, we celebrate freedoms and liberties that we are given as citizens in America. I encourage you to take this one step further this upcoming week. If you believe in Christ and repent from your sins, you're found as a citizen in a much greater kingdom than the United States of America. You're found in the kingdom of God. And if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you have freedom in this kingdom of God, a much greater freedom that allows for the church and his people to be free from the law and the Old Testament. If our only hope for salvation was to follow those 613 laws of the Old Testament, we would all fall short. We'd all perish. But through faith in Jesus Christ, we are able to express true, eternal freedom from the law and from sin. As this past week, we had reflected on those freedoms that MLK Jr. had brought, freedom to the African Americans who were segregated under Jim Crow in the South. We can reflect on this passage and find comfort in Jesus as he has bought us our freedom from the slavery of sin. So please bow your heads with me for a concluding prayer. Father, thank you for bringing your word to your people today. We praise you for giving us freedom in Christ. I pray for those that haven't trusted in your grace. Please lead them in faith in you. Father, I pray that you would also lead us all away from sin in our lives. You have given us freedom that has broken us from the bondage of sin. Because of Christ, we don't need to be circumcised or to use separate plates for meats and dairy to be saved, but we do need to honor your gift and follow your ways and the one and only truth, your truth. Help those here today that are struggling with placing their works as burdens on their faith, and allow them to give it up freely in faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask these things in your name. Amen.